Chapter 65. Neither Full Nor Empty. After the Dharma talk, Venerable Swasti noticed how pensive many of the monks looked. He also felt that he had not grasped what the Buddha taught. He resolved to listen carefully to the elder disciples during their Dharma discussions. At the next Dharma talk, Venerable Ananda was asked by the monks to ask questions to the Buddha in front of the entire assembly. His first question was, Lord, what is meant by the world and the dharmas? The Buddha said, Ananda, the world, loka, is the collective whole of all things subject to change and disillusion. All dharmas are contained in the 18 realms, the 6 sense organs, the 6 sense objects, and the 6 sense consciousness. The 6 sense organs, as you know, are eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose consciousness, tongue consciousness, body consciousness, and mind consciousness. The 6 sense objects are form, sound, smell, taste, touch, and objects of mind. The 6 sense consciousnesses are seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and perceiving. There are no dharmas apart from the 18 realms. All 18 realms are subject to birth and death, to change and disillusion. That is why I have said that the world is the collective whole of all things that possess the nature of change and disillusion. Ananda then asked, Lord, you have often said that all dharmas are empty. What is meant by that? The Buddha said, Ananda, I have said that all dharmas are empty because all dharmas are without a separate self. None of the 6 sense organs, 6 sense objects, or 6 sense consciousnesses possess a separate individual self. Ananda said, Lord, you have said that the 3 gates of liberation are emptiness, signlessness, and aimlessness. You have said that all dharmas are empty. Is it because all dharmas are subject to change and disillusion that they are also empty? Ananda, I have spoken often about emptiness and the contemplation of emptiness. The contemplation on emptiness is a wondrous meditation which can help people transcend suffering, birth, and death. Today, I will speak more on this contemplation. Ananda, we are all sitting together in the Dharma Hall. There are no markets, buffaloes, or villages inside the Dharma Hall. There are only bhikkhus sitting and listening to the Dharma. We can say that the hall is empty of all that is not here, and that it contains what is actually here. The Dharma Hall is empty of markets, buffaloes, and villages, but contains bhikkhus. Do you agree that that is correct? Yes, Lord. After the Dharma talk, we will all leave the Dharma Hall, and there will no longer be any bhikkhus here. At that moment, the Dharma Hall will be empty of markets, buffaloes, villages, and bhikkhus. Do you agree that that is so? Yes, Lord. At that moment, the Dharma Hall will be empty of all those things. Ananda, full, always means full of something. And empty always means empty of something. The words full and empty have no meaning on their own. Please, Lord, could you explain that more? Consider this. Empty is always empty of something, such as empty of markets, buffaloes, villages, and bhikkhus. We cannot say that emptiness is something that exists independently. Fullness is the same. Full is always full of something, such as full of markets, buffaloes, villages, or bhikkhus. Fullness is not something that exists independently. At the present moment, we can say that the Dharma Hall is empty of markets, buffaloes, and villages. As for all dharmas, if we say that all dharmas are full, what are they full of? If we say that all dharmas are empty, what are they empty of? Bhikkhus, the emptiness of all dharmas refers to the fact that all dharmas are empty of a permanent and unchanging self. That is the meaning of the emptiness of all dharmas. You know that all dharmas are subject to change and dissolution. Because of that, they cannot be said to possess a separate, independent self. Bhikkhus, empty, means empty of self. Bhikkhus, there is no aggregate among the five aggregates that possesses a permanent, unchanging nature. All the aggregates of body, feelings, perceptions, mental formations, and consciousness are without a separate self. They do not possess a permanent and unchanging nature. A permanent and unchanging nature would be an essential self. Contemplating in order to see the absence of such an independent, separate self is contemplating emptiness. Ananda said, All dharmas are without a self. This we understand. But then, Lord, do the dharmas actually exist? The Buddha quietly looked down at the small table before him, on which was placed a bowl of water. He pointed to the bowl and asked Ananda, "Ananda, would you say this bowl is full or empty?" "Lord, the bowl is full of water." "Ananda, take this bowl outside and empty all the water out of it." Venerable Ananda did as the Buddha instructed. When he returned, he placed the empty bowl back on the table. The Buddha lifted the bowl and turned it upside down. He asked, "Ananda, is this bowl now full or empty?" "Lord, it is no longer full, it is empty." "Ananda, are you sure the bowl is empty?" "Yes, Lord, I am sure the bowl is empty." "Ananda, this bowl is no longer full of water, but it is full of air. You have forgotten already. Empty means empty of something, and full means full of something. In this case, the bowl is empty of water, but full of air." "I understand now." "Good. Ananda, this bowl can be either empty or full. Of course, whether there is emptiness or fullness depends on the presence of the bowl. Without a bowl, there would be no emptiness or fullness. It is just like the Dharma Hall. In order for it to be full or empty, it must first be there." "Ah!" the bhikkhus suddenly exclaimed with one voice. Venerable Ananda joined his palms. "Lord, then the dharmas do exist. The dharmas are real." The Buddha smiled. "Ananda, don't be caught by words. If the dharmas are phenomena empty of self, their existence is not the existence of ordinary perception. Their existence has the same meaning as emptiness." Ananda joined his palms. "Please, Lord, can you explain that further?" "Ananda, we have spoken about an empty and a full bowl. We have also spoken about an empty and a full Dharma hall. I have briefly spoken about emptiness. Let me speak more about fullness. Although we have agreed that the bowl on the table is empty of water, if we look deeply, we will see that it is not entirely true." The Buddha lifted the bowl and then looked at Ananda. "Ananda, among the interwoven elements that have given rise to the bowl, do you see water?" "Yes, Lord. Without water, the potter would not have been able to mix the clay he used to fashion the bowl." "Just so, Ananda. Looking deeply, we can see the presence of water in the bowl, even though we earlier stated that it is empty of water. The presence of the bowl depends on the presence of water." "Ananda, can you see the fire element in this bowl?" "Yes, Lord. Fire was necessary to complete the bowl. Looking deeply, I can see the presence of heat and fire in the bowl. What else can you see? I see the air. Without air, the fire could not have burned, and the potter could not have lived. I see the potter and his skillful hands. I see his consciousness. I see the kiln and the wood stacked in the kiln. I see the trees the wood came from. I see the rain, sun, and earth, which enabled the trees to grow. Lord, I can see thousands of interpenetrating elements that gave rise to this bowl. Excellent Ananda, contemplating the bowl, it is possible to see the interdependent elements that gave rise to the bowl. Ananda, these elements are present within and without the bowl. Your own awareness is one of the elements. If you took away heat and returned it to the sun, if you returned the clay to the earth and the water to the river, if you returned the potter to his parents and the wood to the forest trees, could the bowl still exist? Lord, the bowl could no longer exist. If you returned the interdependent elements that gave rise to the bowl, to their sources, the bowl could no longer be present. Ananda, contemplating the law of dependent co-arising, we see that the bowl cannot exist independently. It can only exist in interdependent relation with all other dharmas. All dharmas depend on each other for birth, existence, and death. The presence of one dharma implies the presence of all other dharmas. The presence of all dharmas is implied by the presence of just one dharma. Ananda, this is the principle of interpenetration and interbeing. Ananda, interpenetration, means that within this, that is, and within that, this is. For example, when we look at this bowl, we can see the potter, and when we look at the potter, we can see the bowl. Interbeing means that this is that, and that is this. For example, waves are water and water is waves. Ananda, at present there are no markets, buffaloes, or villages in the Dharma Hall. But that is only from one viewpoint. In reality, without the presence of markets, buffaloes, and villages, this Dharma Hall could not exist. Thus, Ananda, when you look at the empty Dharma Hall, you should be able to see the presence of markets, buffaloes, and villages. Without this, that is not. The basic meaning of emptiness is this is because that is. The bhikkhus listened in perfect silence. The Buddha's words made a deep impression on them. After a brief pause, the Buddha lifted the empty bowl again and said, "Bhikkhus, this bowl cannot exist independently. It is here thanks to all the things we consider non-bowl entities, such as earth, water, fire, air, potter, and so forth. It is the same for all dharmas. Every dharma exists an interdependent relation to all other dharmas. All dharmas exist by the principles of interpenetration and interbeing. Bhikkhus, look deeply at this bowl and you can see the entire universe. This bowl contains the entire universe. There is only one thing that the bowl is empty of, and that is a separate individual self. What is a separate individual self? It is a self that exists completely on its own, independent of all other elements. No dharma can exist independently from other dharmas. No dharma possesses a separate essential self. That is the meaning of emptiness. Empty means empty of self. Bhikkhus, the five aggregates are the basic elements of a person. Form does not contain a self, because form cannot exist independently. Within form exists feelings, perceptions, mental formations, and consciousness. It is the same for feelings. Feelings do not possess a self, because feelings cannot exist independently. Within feelings are form, perceptions, mental formations, and consciousness. The same is true for the other three aggregates. No aggregate possesses a separate identity. The five aggregates depend on each other in order to exist. Thus, the five aggregates are all empty. Bhikkhus, the six sense organs, the six sense objects, and the six sense consciousnesses are all empty. Every sense organ, every sense object, and every sense consciousness depends on all the other sense organs, sense objects, and sense consciousness in order to exist. No sense organ, sense object, or sense consciousness possesses an independent, separate nature. Bhikkhus, let me repeat this so that it will be easy for you to remember. This is, therefore, that is. All dharmas depend on each other in order to exist. Thus, all dharmas are empty. Empty here means empty of an independent, separate self. Venerable Ananda said, Lord, some Brahmana scholars and leaders of other religious sects claim that the monk Gotama teaches annihilism. They say that you lead people to negate all of life. Do they misunderstand you because you say that all dharmas are empty? The Buddha answered, Ananda, the Brahmana scholars and leaders of other religious sects do not speak correctly about this. I have never taught the doctrine of annihilism. I have never led others to deny life. Ananda, among false views, there are two that entangle people the most, views of being and views of non-being. The first view regards all things as having a separate and permanent self-nature. The second regards all things as illusions. If you are caught in either view, you cannot see the truth. Ananda, once Bhikkhu Kakayana asked me, Lord, what is false view and what is right view? I answered that false view is to be caught in either the notion of being or the notion of non-being. When we see into the true nature of reality, we are no longer bounded by either of these views. A person with right view understands the processes of birth and death in all dharmas. Because of that, he is not disturbed by thoughts of existence or non-existence. When suffering arises, the person with the right views knows that suffering is arising. When suffering fades, the person with right view knows that suffering is fading. The arising and fading of all dharmas does not disturb the person with right view. The two false views of permanence and illusion are too extreme. Dependent co-arising transcends both extremes and dwells in the middle. Ananda, being and non-being are concepts that do not accord with reality. Reality transcends the boundaries of such concepts. An unenlightened person is one who has transcended the concepts of being and non-being. An enlightened person is one who has transcended the concepts of being and non-being. Ananda, not only are being and non-being empty, but birth and death are also empty. They are also merely concepts. Venerable Ananda asked, Lord, if birth and death are empty, why have you often said that all dharmas are impermanent, constantly being born and dying? Ananda, at the relative conceptual level, we speak of dharmas being born and passing away. But from the point of view of the Absolute, all dharmas are by nature birthless and deathless. Please, Lord, explain this. Ananda, take the example of the Bodhi tree you planted in front of the Dharma Hall. When was it born? Lord, it was born 4 years ago at the very moment the seed put forth roots. Ananda, before that, did the Bodhi tree exist? No, Lord, before that, there was no Bodhi. Do you mean to say that the Bodhi tree arose from nothing? Can any Dharma come into being from nothing? Venerable Ananda fell silent. The Buddha continued, Ananda, there is no Dharma in all the universe that can come into being from nothing. Without the seed, there could be no Bodhi tree. The Bodhi tree owes its existence to the seed. The tree is the continuation of the seed. Before the seed penetrated roots into the earth, the Bodhi tree was already present in the seed. If a Dharma is already present, how can it be born? The Bodhi tree's nature is without birth. The Buddha asked Ananda, after the seed penetrated roots into the earth, did the seed die? Yes, Lord. The seed died in order to give birth to the tree. Ananda, the seed did not die. To die means to pass from existence to non-existence. Is there any Dharma in all the universe that can pass from existence to non-existence? A leaf, a mote of dust, a trail of incense smoke. None of these can pass from existence to non-existence. All these dharmas transform into different dharmas, that's all. The Bodhi into different. All these dharmas transform into different dharmas, that is all. The Bodhi seed is the same. The seed did not die. It transformed into a tree. The seed and the tree are both birthless and deathless. Ananda, the seed and the tree, you, me, the bhikkhus, the Dharma hall, the leaf, a dust mote, a trail of incense smoke, are all without birth and death. Ananda, all dharmas are without birth and death. Birth and death are only mental concepts. All dharmas are neither full nor empty, neither created nor destroyed, neither defiled nor immaculate, neither increasing nor decreasing, neither coming nor going, neither one nor many. All these are merely concepts. Thanks to the contemplation on the empty nature of all dharmas, it is possible to transcend all discriminating concepts in order to realize the true nature of all things. Ananda, the true nature of all things is that there is neither full nor empty, birth nor death, becoming nor dissolving. It is based on that true nature that the world of birth and death, fullness and emptiness, becoming and dissolution arises. If not, how could there be a way out of birth and death, fullness and emptiness, becoming and dissolving? Ananda, have you ever stood on the seashore and watched the waves rise and fall on the surface of the sea? Birthlessness and deathlessness are like the water. Birth and death are like the waves. Ananda, there are long waves and short waves, high waves and low waves. Waves rise and fall, but the water remains. Without water, there could be no waves. The waves return to water. Waves are water. Water is waves. Though the waves may rise and pass away, if they understand that they themselves are the water, they will transcend notions of birth and death. They will not worry, fear, or suffer because of birth and death. Bhikkhus, the contemplation on the empty nature of all dharma is wondrous. It leads to liberation from all fear, worry, and suffering. It will help you transcend the world of birth and death. Practice this contemplation with all your being. The Buddha was finished speaking. Venerable Swasti had never heard the Buddha speak more profoundly or wondrously. The eyes and smiles of the Buddha's senior disciples radiated happiness. Swasti felt he understood the Buddha's words, but had not penetrated their deepest meaning. He knew that Ananda would repeat the entire Dharma talk in the coming days. He would then have an opportunity to listen more by listening to the senior disciples discuss what the Buddha had said.